They had like a small groups festival with booths. And I mean, this is a decade ago. And I mean, I love the Lord, but my viewpoint of church or church people was like, see?
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
What are you doing?
Hey.
We're back, baby. Life After Addiction, episode six, I believe. Yeah. And so we're in this series, this little mini series called The Four Pillars. You've heard us talk about God's Word. You've heard us talk about prayer. Today, we're going to talk about a pillar, pillar number three, and it's fellowship. Not just fellowship, we say good fellowship, because there's always the wise guy that's like, yeah, I'm going to get with the guys and go to the strip club, and that's fellowship. And it's like, nah, good fellowship, God-honoring fellowship. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to sit around and sing Kumbaya. It could be anything, as long as it's God-glorifying, God-honoring. You're fishing, you're canoeing, you're whatever it is. But fellowship, we're designed by God as creatures to be engaged with others, that we're creation to be in fellowship. And that's why it's so important, and one of the pillars, that we daily need to be involved in some sort of fellowship. And that doesn't mean that you have to absolutely be with someone every day, but definitely being involved, having a message, calling someone, checking in on someone, allowing someone to do that with you. And I mean, I think just even we've been teaching this for years, and man, just last year proved how important fellowship is. You know, we had a 30% rise in overdose deaths. That's just drug overdose. That's not alcohol, in 2020 because of the pandemic, because of lockdown. Astronomically, the numbers rose in suicides as well in 2020. Because of the lockdown, people were not physically allowed or able to go and fellowship, to be around others, to have community. And it ended up being devastating, not in just in this country, but all over the planet. Things got bad when we locked down.
Yeah.
Fellowship. What does it mean to you when you hear that?
Yeah. For me, you know, it does two things. Not only does it allow your brothers and sisters in Christ to know specifically what to pray for, because we learned about the power of prayer in the last episode, but it also disarms the enemy in the sense of those, that deception and the lies that he tries to feed us when we can kind of move towards that isolation island. Sometimes on that isolation island, those lies seem like truths to me. And I tell the guys that I coach all the time, you know, and just my brothers in Christ in general, sometimes for me, it's hardest for me to see God working in myself. It's easy for me to see him working in Adam's life. It's easy to see him working in Carl's life. It's easy to see him working in the men around me lives. But sometimes it's hard to see him working in myself. And I think that godly fellowship reiterates the fact that, hey, man, I see God moving in you in this way. I see the Lord doing mighty things in your life. And sometimes just that little reassurance is all that we need to catapult us deeper into our relationship with the Lord and continue being steadfast in our faith. And so I have a scripture that I'd like to read, and it's from Proverbs 27:17.
Yeah.
And it says, iron sharpens iron just as one man sharpens another.
Mm.
And the influence and the impact that godly men have had in my life is far more significant than anything I could ever fathom. It's something that this world doesn't know. You know, there's a secular influence and impact, but a godly influence and impact leads you to eternal life. You know, this just reminds me, when I think of fellowship, of one specific moment. I was a student in the program, so this was June of 2017. And during the summer, we go on canoeing trips. And so we went out, I think it was on the Duck River.
Yeah.
And we got in pairs, and we went out on the river. And so, mind you, I hadn't been sober for longer than a month, and probably over 10 years at this point, you know. And so we're out there, and I had just given my life to the Lord probably like a couple weeks prior to this day. I had learned about his love, his grace, his sacrifice, his mercy, his forgiveness, and all these things. And man, I was on fire for God. Yeah. You know, I finally had hope for the first time in many, many years. And so we're out there on the river, And I remember just having this moment with God. I'm sitting in my canoe. You know, I had just learned about how God created the heavens and the earth, and just I'm out in nature and we're going down this river. And I remember just looking around at the beauty in his creation. And yeah. I stood up on that canoe and the presence of the Lord was upon me. And it's so hard to describe it, but I knew in that moment, man, I could have joy apart from drugs.
Yeah.
And I know it may seem crazy, but for those who have ever struggled with addiction, you understand that that thought or concept is unfathomable apart from Christ. And in that moment, I knew undeniably, man, I could have joy and freedom from this addiction. I just knew it. The Spirit of God inside of me gave me an assurance that, man, this is absolutely possible. And just the atmosphere that S2O creates and the fellowship and the brothers helped me catapult to that place. You feel so dark and alone for so long when you come in here, and then you hear stories of men who have testimonies similar to yours. And it's like, okay, maybe I'm not like the biggest piece of crap. Maybe, you know, I haven't been the only one to do these certain things.
Yeah.
And so that fellowship, and just that moment for me, that was a significant moment in my walk.
Yeah. I mean, by design, that's how God created it to thrive as Christians, as people, as humans, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're designed to have fellowship. And I mean, you brought me back with just the stories of we really try to do things in the program, exterior things, because me as well, or like you, I remember saying out loud to myself, don't talk to myself that much, especially out loud. But I remember saying out loud to myself, there will never be another day that I don't take this drug or something, because I had to have it. I had to do it to have fun, to have a conversation, to have a meeting. So let me tell you, if you're watching this, Ryan and I were discussing this, we're making it light, we're having fun, but we're discussing addiction not because we've read addiction books. We have done that. He's in school now. I finished school studying psychology, biblical history, church history, those kind of things, counseling, those kind of things. We have done that, but we speak on the authority of God's word, but also our testimony. And our testimony is littered with addiction and with loss. And so hopefully you can hear us. If you're thinking in the same mindset that we were, that you can never thrive or have joy or fun or any of those things unless you take a drug or something like that, know that that's from the pits of hell.
That's right.
Know that the memories of those stories. I mean, we do these all the time, but just, I remember the moment that you're talking about. I'm not sure, but just going down that river, and we do it during the week. So like we have the whole thing, we have rent a bunch of canoes and kayaks and stuff, or we go paintball or something like that during the week and off times. But I remember the joy and the laughter and the splashing and the camaraderie and the fellowship echoing off of the hills, man. And it's like, man, wait, is anyone drunk or high? We always ask that at the end. Hey, was anyone drunk or high today? And everyone's like, no. I was like, all right, did you have fun? They're like, yeah, thank you. I go, so let this lie be stomped out today that you no longer have to have some sort of chemical or some sort of whatever to have joy. And, man, I love that story. I love doing things like that. I think fellowship is important, and I want to cover some scripture that really hits this. But you've got to get vulnerable, not only fellowship in groups, but there's got to be a person or a couple people in your life that you allow to really know you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To know you fully, to know your blind spots, right? That's, I always do this in the class when I teach it, but I'm like, someone sitting in front of me, I'll use you. I'm like, all right, Ryan, tell me what's behind you exactly right now. And they're like, some of them are like, I have no idea. Or some of them try to guess. And I'm like, well, I could tell you, okay, you have a picture, a life after addiction picture. You have a window over there off screen that has a thing over it to black out the light. And I could just tell you exactly what's behind you. And I go, you know, the problem with your blind spot is that you can't see it.
Yeah.
But I can. And when you and I allow each other to know each other, like you said in your thing, man, I get a call or I call the guy in my life. I don't even have to really describe it. He already knows what I struggle with. He knows how to pray for me and he's there for me.
Yeah.
And it just, it's by design, just this beautiful thing. And I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. And it says this, and Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, who, just so you know, if you don't know much about the Bible or who Solomon is, he is said to be the wisest man who's ever lived. Also the richest man who's ever lived. But people would travel for hundreds of miles, queens and kings and these leaders in the world during that time would travel to come hear his wisdom. And here's what he writes in verse 12 of chapter 4. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And man, I always think that. I mean, Carl, if we got into a fist fight, he might take me. It's for the pod, bro.
We'll play that out in another episode, man. I'm curious.
This is an example. But if me and Carl got into a fist fight, he might take me. I can't even do that with a straight face. I'm sorry, bro.
I believe it.
He might take me. Yeah. But if you and I were to fight Carl, he don't get both of us.
Right.
And it's just like I'm seeing your blind spots, man. We're called to be in this thing. Have people that have your back that know you. That doesn't mean that you just go and I'll tell a story here in a minute, but you don't just go and trust everyone with your deepest, most things. But that also doesn't mean that you don't trust anyone. You've got to have people. You got to be vulnerable in your life and allow people in. And you know what? Honestly, it doesn't even have to be someone who's struggled with chemical dependence.
Right.
It needs to be a strong believer, and I would say men with men, women with women in this mm-hmm. concept, because, man, that could get into a really dangerous situation yeah. in the aspect of what God's called us to in righteousness and marriage and sex and things like that. And so I would say men be with men and women be with women, so you're not engaging in something other than fellowship and yeah. being vulnerable for that protection. But it's an amazing thing. It's yeah. an amazing thing with fellowship.
Yeah. And the opposite of that, right, would be isolation. And I think the enemy plays into that so often. I mean, you even think about whenever he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, you know, he had just come back from 40 days of fasting day and night, and he was vulnerable in that moment. He was alone in that moment.
Yeah.
I think he often comes to us in that same manner. The enemy knows whenever I have started to isolate, whenever I have started to shut out my brothers who I usually talk to, whenever I have become secluded. He knows that's a prime and opportune time to attack us. And I think for men especially, man, it's difficult for us to get out of our shell. It's difficult to talk about my deepest and darkest fears. It's difficult to talk about my insecurities. It's difficult. It's like, you know, that pit in your stomach where it's like, no, don't say that. Man, yeah. you got to have, like you said, a couple men in your life who you can just get real with
yeah.
and get raw with. One, so they know specifically what to pray for, but also to help guide, counsel, and lead you through certain things. You know, even you look at the disciples, they were sent out in what? Twos.
Yeah.
There's significance to fellowship and community. And the Bible is very clear that we're called to walk our faith out in community with one another. And yeah, I think that's something that S2L has helped me out tremendously with. It's like, man, we're raw here. We're vulnerable. We're honest. I've coached men who have been in the church and involved in the church for 10, 20, 30 years, you know, and they just talk about the realness and the authenticity of how we get in groups and in counseling sessions and in small groups. And it's like, man, these are our struggles. These are common struggles against that men and women have that, man, I don't have to feel ashamed of. Do I repent for certain things that I know I need to repent for? Certainly. But I don't need to feel ashamed and just hide these in my closet so nobody knows what I'm thinking or saying and certain things that I've done before. It's like, nah, I got to get these out because the enemy is going to use that against you to convince, man, your position in Christ is not solidified. Man, you're not who you think you are. Man, you're not worthy of walking through these things. You mean those feelings of inadequacy that come.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting. We're on Life After Addiction, this podcast, S2L as a whole, we're unashamedly biblically mindsetted. Our viewpoint is a biblical worldview, and unashamedly.
Yeah.
But we don't disagree with science or medicine and things like that. We think those are from God, and we think, honestly, it's like science is catching up to the Word of God.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you just said, it's like depression, suicide, loneliness, addiction, overdose, rampant, all of these negative things. And what's the root there? They're isolating.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one around. There's no one to check them on their thoughts. There's no one to say, or to just hear them. Hear them, not even have to check them, just be of someone that shows they care and love. But I mean, when it comes to that person in your life, and you got, when I say you have to allow them permission, because if not, you won't. And every time they try to check you, it's defensive mode. Now, have grace for yourself. Know that you're probably going to respond badly at first in this process when someone checks you and calls you an idiot. And if you respond badly, as soon as you can, come and apologize. Even if you disagree with what they're checking you on, hey, I've asked you to be this person in my life. I'm sorry. Man, that's my pride, and I'm really trying to die to that. But you got to allow people to speak in your life, man. And if someone says you're jacking up, listen. Listen. Yeah. And I mean, you said it was really hard for us to do, and I'll just kind of share my story of something that's really like blessed my my family, my growth, my everything. And it's about fellowship. Well, when I first, my wife first moved here, when I first, I was interning possibly, or just first on staff at S2L. My wife moved here, and we knew we had to find a church. Well, we went to a couple, and then we went to our church, Life Point, and both looked at each other afterwards like, this is the one we're supposed to be at. And it was just, it was amazing, because we prayed, God, we don't want to shop a long time. God, lead us to where we're supposed to go. And it was amazing. He led us there. And so at that time, I was working every other weekend I was on. Every other Sunday, I was working at the lodge. And so I'd get to go with my wife to church every other Sunday. Well, one of the Sundays that I wasn't at church, they had like a small groups festival with booths. And I mean, this is a decade ago. And I mean, I love the Lord, but my viewpoint of church or church people was like, they're kind of nerdy in my mind. Yeah. I played sports and I didn't know. I was an idiot.
Right.
And so my wife, when I got home from work, she's like, I signed us up for a small group. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, huh, you did. You signed me up? She goes, yeah, us. I'm like, and it's great. They only meet every other week too. So you can go. I go, honey boo. So now like the two Sundays I have off a month, I'm going to go to church and then lunch and then go to these people's houses.
That's right.
She goes, yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know about it. She goes, yeah. So I just had a bad attitude about it. And then I remember the Sunday, the first time we were meeting, and we pulled up to these people's house and we were a little late. And I was like, hey, let's just catch them next time. You know, so I'd be like two more weeks later. We're late. We're going to make a bad impression. Let's just go next time. My wife is like, you might wear the pants. But if you ever want to get into my pants again, you'll get into this house. I was like, whoa, honey boo. So I walked in, yes, ma'am, but I was mad. I was haughty. I'm like, I'm going to show her. I'll go in there, but I'm going to show her. So we walked in, and I mean, I'm sorry, this is a podcast for adults. I shouldn't have said that. But we're a married couple, and that's a good thing. God made sex. But we went into the room, and it was just Leave It to Beaver, man. We went around the room. It was like, hey, Comers, good to see ya. Hey, and they went around, and they just, and I'm not, these are my friends, but they went around the room, and it just was like everything was perfect.
Yeah.
Zippity-doo, we're the so-and-sos, and it's a good day. And it went around the room, and I go, it got to us, and I go, here's my chance. We'll never come back here again. And I go, hey, guys, we're the Comers. I just got out of rehab. Stole a whole bunch of stuff, man, lived a life of addiction. God, I ravaged our marriage, stole from everyone. Everything was bad, and God restored us now, and now I'm working for the ministry. And, you know, God redeemed me from all of that. And as I'm saying, all of their mouths were like. And my wife was like, yeah, that's true. God is good. Yeah. You know, she's over there like agreeing, but everyone's face, their jaws just hit the floor. And then when I got done, man, and I've told this story before, but it's everything I think of when I think about fellowship. When I got done and their jaws still on the floor, it seemed like a 30-minute silence, but it was probably like a 3-second silence. And one of the coolest things in the world happened. The host, whose house it was, who was the leader of the small group, he goes, yeah, finally, we get real in this room. And I kid you not, man, it went back around the room and things were confessed.
That's powerful.
The mask came off and we all grew as, and these are my closest friends to the day. I mean, the small group leader, I'm their kid's godparent. Like if they pass away, I'm the one to raise their kid. And they just adopted him from Haiti and he's like 12 and it's like, what an honor. Mm. Or 13 now. Like, what an honor. So, like, all of this power of attorney stuff, like, whoa, this dude doesn't see me. Like, maybe some people, he only sees the redeemed. This family sees me as the redeemed man. And so much so that they, the honor of wanting to raise their kid if something happens to them. And it's like, man, we go on vacations with them. These are the people we do life with. Mm. And it all started with just probably a haughty spirit of mine, to be honest. A boldness of my wife to sign us up and know that we needed fellowship. Right. Know that we needed community outside of just S2L. And going in and doing that, man, and like, it's just changed me. That guy, his name's Peyton, that guy to this day, I mean, he knows me. And I know him. But that whole group, man, we're still friends. Actually, Brian Thomas was in that group that we talked about. Awesome.
Shout out to Brian Thomas.
I don't know. Maybe he was in that small group. I don't know if he was there that day. But from Williamson College, we talked about him. Dr. Brian Thomas talked about him a few weeks ago. But, I mean, it's to this day, these are the people that, man, I do life with and I trust. And it's like, it's fellowship is what it was designed to be.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And that's amazing. You know, I think we can be the catalyst for that type of atmosphere where that authenticity is the norm.
Yeah.
You know, we can cultivate that atmosphere. You know, it reminds me of just discipling the men that I do. And I see how our other coaches disciple as well. You know, I always talk about things that I struggle with or things that I've been through myself, and I get real and raw with them. And what that does in them, it's like, okay, well, maybe it's okay to let some of these things out that I've been holding in for so long that have really been spiritually hindering me because I don't really realize the impact they're having on me negatively. So whenever we're able to come out of ourselves and just get raw with it, get vulnerable, be honest, say what it is, man, that inspires other guys. I tell the guys at devotional, I see some of them, they do that. And you just see it. I like watching their faces and stuff. And you see it. This guy may speak up about something that these two guys over here weren't going to talk, but so-and-so just brought this up and now it sparked something in him. And then it sparked something in this guy. And I think that's such a beautiful thing whenever we can come to that place as men, because pride has been the downfall of man since the beginning, you know, and pride will not allow me to talk about my fears because that's weak. It won't let me talk about my insecurities because that's weak. It won't let me talk about anxiety or depression that I struggle with because that's weak. And I have to walk around, you know, and act like nothing phases me. And actually showing emotion and expressing emotion is strength.
Yeah.
Like
it's such a, the dichotomy of that. And I don't even know if that makes sense for me to say that there, but duplicity, the intentional part of when we try to portray that we're perfect, what you're really saying, like when everything's perfect, right? And that's what we've been molded to be. Like everything's fine. How you doing, brother? You know, everything's good. And it's this pride but when we portray that, you know what? Maybe you haven't thought about this. Like maybe y'all haven't thought about this. But when you portray that, do you know what you're really saying? What you're really saying is you don't need the cross because you are perfect. You've kept the commandments perfect. You have no sin in your life. And so when you're portraying that, that ends badly for everyone.
Yeah.
It makes other people feel like, oh, this person doesn't have a clue what's going on. This person doesn't deal with the things I deal with, so I shouldn't talk about mine because I'm embarrassed and prideful. And it makes you think, it makes you project the fact that you don't need the gospel, that Jesus didn't work. You don't need Jesus. Mm. Now, we just want to be clear. We say and stand by, take your mask off, be known by people. But again, just reiterate, that doesn't mean there are wicked people out there that will use things against you. So we're not saying, I mean, not like I did or like some of us do, because I just don't give a rip. But be wise. Be wise, learn, get to know people, and get vulnerable. Take your mask off. And again, that group that I went into, none of them dealt with chemical dependence. But they're all jacked up people, and they don't mind me telling you that. You know how I know? Because they need Jesus. Because they live in a fallen world. And man, being in this ministry for a decade now, what I've learned so much about addiction, so much about people struggling with addiction, but I've also learned everyone's jacked.
Yeah.
Everyone's jacked up. Like, everyone needs Christ. Everyone needs that cross. Everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs relationships and fellowship. And man, if from the rooms of recovery, the revival of the nation, it's because we have seen too much.
Yeah.
and we don't care anymore. We don't care what the world thinks anymore. We're going to be, look what God did in my life. If he did that in my life, he could do it in yours. Mm. Who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Come on. Yeah, that's powerful. And just to reiterate what you said, I don't mean it in a sense of everyone, you know?
Right.
There's only, honestly, in my life, there's a couple, a handful of guys. Now, I work at a ministry, and I'm blessed to have the brothers I do, you know? But it's really, for most people, it's only going to be a few people, and that's perfectly fine. It may be a couple, it may be one to start, but God will put the right men in your life that are going to have the wisdom and the knowledge and the leadership ability to help guide you through certain things. So it's not go tell everybody on the street every problem that you have, because you're going to get some ill advice along the way if you do that.
Yeah, or wicked people will try to hold things and use things against you. That's real. We live in a fallen world, but that's not an excuse not to get vulnerable with the right people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You got any closing thoughts?
Fellowship, man. I've been blessed with fellowship, and it's absolutely essential for our spiritual health and navigating through the course of life. Life is difficult. Life is tough. And apart from having that fellowship and community, I am easily deceived by the lies of the enemy. So just that fellowship, the camaraderie amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church itself, it's essential for your spiritual health.
Amen. Amen. I'm not going to add anything to that. That's life after addiction.
You better believe
life after addiction
it.
Is Come a production of If you have any questions you'd like answered on the podcast, email them to info@springtolife.net. That's info@springlife.net. And for more information on addiction recovery, visit s2lrecovery.org.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian Prayer Meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian Prayer Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.